may also say, along with Jared, it's good to see everyone here this morning, especially if you're visiting with us, and we want to bid you a cordial welcome and hope that you come back each and every opportunity that you may have. If you would, turn over to the book of Romans, and in Romans, the 15th chapter, we'll take our study from verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Here Paul, as he's writing this letter to the church at Rome, he says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Sometimes I think that we are not a joyous people. We are not a happy people. And so I wonder, why do you suppose that is? Because sometimes as Christians, we ought to be happy, we ought to be joyful, but sometimes we portray that we're not happy, we're not at peace. And maybe it's because we have not put enough emphasis on the joy that we have in Christ. Our joy or should be of being a Christian, a joy of the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Maybe we do not put enough emphasis on those things. And maybe that we put too much emphasis on the things of this world. And this is sometimes something that I think that we need to be aware of, that sometimes things in this world seem to be more important to us, and we think that we can have more joy and fulfillment in life in the things that we see in this world instead of the spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. The child of God must be a person who has a deep measure of joy in his heart. As we look through the Bible, we find that it is filled full of references to God's people either rejoicing or having joy in their heart. The word joy itself, it comes in various forms. It occurs in the Bible hundreds of times. And what I'd like to do this morning is to speak to us for a little bit about this subject of joy. And in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, it has examples, numerous examples, and references to this word joy. David wrote in the 16th Psalm in verse 11, he said, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." He also wrote in the 51st Psalm, after his sin against Bathsheba, and after this sin was pointed out to him, we see in verse 12 that he prays to God, and he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain it." Isn't this something that we should pray for? That we pray for this joy that we have in Christ Jesus, this salvation that has been provided for us, and pray that He give us the strength that we can sustain it and we can keep that joy in our heart. In the 118th Psalm, it also he wrote, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And you think about that. Do we rejoice and have joy in the day that is set for us? When we woke up this morning, did we have joy that we was able to have a night's rest and that we could see another sunrise and another day? Some see the joy of the day and the blessings that each one brings. There should be joy in every day of our life. as we go through this life? Do we understand and appreciate the joy? Do we understand and appreciate the things that we are blessed with in this life each and every day? Sometimes I think we're so busy complaining about the things that we don't have, or maybe how hot the temperature is, and do we thank God for the rain? Do we thank God for the pleasant weather that we have been receiving in the last few days? Now, I know everybody talks about that, oh man, I'm so glad it's cool. But do we thank God for that cool weather? Now, I know we certainly complain about the weather that we don't enjoy, but do we give thanks and praise to the weather that we do enjoy? In the New Testament, the birth of Jesus itself was a joyful occasion. It was an event that brought joy. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, here Luke writes, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" And we know that what had taken place at that time was, here Joseph and Mary, like many others, they were going in order to pay their taxes into the city. And the joy of the Savior that was born in that city of David. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as it had happened and was told to them. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me." Now you think about that. Here Jesus said, be blessed that this is happening to you. And he said, rejoice and be glad. Have joy in it. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. And so we need to think about every challenge or everything that comes our way in our life. We should be joyful, a joyful people. Because we, as many people do not have, we have the word of the Lord. We have been baptized into Christ. We are children of His. And we have that hope and that promise of that eternal joy that we will have in heaven. That should make us very joyful. You think about the apostles and the early Christians. Even though they were suffering persecution, they were a joyful people because they joyed in what they had from the Lord. And we also see in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, as Paul is writing to the church there, he listed joy as one of the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what he said in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." And so, and also it includes forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But part of that fruit of the Spirit is the joy that we should have in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Acts the 8th chapter, in verse 39, speaking of the Philip and the eunuch. Remember that Philip was preaching down in Samaria and that he was called away to go to join himself to this eunuch. This eunuch had come up in order to worship God, and he's on his way back home. And as he's going home, he was reading in the Bible. And here we see that Philip had asked him, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I unless someone teach me?" And as he joined himself to that chariot, when they came upon this water, he said, "Why can't I be baptized?" And he said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And so he confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord, and he was baptized. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now, why do you suppose that he was rejoicing? Because he was reading. He was trying to learn what the truth was. Philip taught him, beginning at the same scripture, and he realized the need that he needed to be baptized. And so by realizing that he needed to be baptized at that time, so he confessed Jesus as Lord, and he was baptized. So afterwards, he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing for what? Now then, his sins had been forgiven him. And so he was a child of God. He had something to rejoice in. He had that hope of eternal life. And so we need to think about this ourselves. Do you remember? Everyone, answer this for yourself. Do you remember the joy that you had when you first obeyed the gospel? I think we can all remember at that moment in time when we went forward and we were baptized into Christ, and how that was a joyful moment, because we knew that the burden of our sins had been cleansed, had been washed away, and we were able to start over and walk in this newness of life. Now then, do we still feel the same way? Do we have that same joy today as we did on that day? And if not, why not? What's wrong? What has changed? God has not changed. The promise is still there. But why have we changed and no longer joyful? Is it because we have strayed from the Lord? And maybe the truth is not in us? We have left our first love, as what the angel of the Lord said to those in Revelation chapter 2. What about the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse 34? Here he rejoiced greatly. Paul says that the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy. He rejoiced greatly, he and his whole household. Why? Because he had come to believe in God and was looking forward to the joys of being in Christ. That is a joyful occasion, knowing that we are in Christ, that we have that hope. But why is it sometimes that we're not very joyful people? We let any and everything stand in our way to make us gloom and doom, negative Nancy. That's what we become. Everything we want to complain about, everything that's happening, poor, pitiful me, when we are to be rejoicing because we are children of His and that we have that hope of eternal life through His blood. You know, we partake of the Lord's Supper, these emblems, and we see people saying things about the bread, that representing His body, the cup representing His blood. Do we think back about that sacrifice that He made and the joy that we have in rejoicing in the fact that He did die on that cross and shed His blood for us so that we could have that eternal life? We should be always joyful in these things. In all these references, it is obvious that the life of the Christian is supposed to be one of joy. Because all of these Christians, when they talk about this, becoming Christian, they were joyful. They were rejoicing in that. If we don't have that joy, maybe there's something missing in our life, and then we need to get that back, whatever that was. Let's look at this. What is joy? Well, the dictionary defines it this way: as being success or good fortune or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. From a worldly point of view, We look at that as maybe our sweethearts, maybe someone that you're dating or falling in love with, maybe your husband or your wife, as you're living together and working together. Maybe it's the joy that a parent has with the birth of their child. And we know those are joyful things, but those are worldly things that we rejoice in. But for the child of God, joy must not be something that's temporary, as a temporary emotion. It is not our good fortune to be a Christian. Have we perhaps left our first love? As a Christian, we should always be filled with joy. That joy should never depart from us. And so, you know, some things in this life, when we think about worldly possessions and things that bring us joy, they fade away. Can you remember the first car that you had and how wonderful that car was? Boy, you done forgot about that old clunker by now, haven't you? Because you found something better. And then it rusts and decays and it falls away. And there's something else. And we become when we're never satisfied. We're always trying to find joy and happiness in things that are in this world that are going to perish. But the joy that we receive when we become a child of God, that is a joy that should last forever. We should never let that diminish from our life. But so many times we let other things smother it out. The book of Philippians has been labeled as the letter of joy. And here we find the answer to one of the most important questions of life. And that is how to be happy. How to become joyful. In it we find the key to happiness and joy in this life. Let me ask you, do you want to be happy? Is that something you desire, is to be happy and to be able to have peace that surpasses all understanding? Well, if you would, look at Philippians chapter 4 and 4 through 6. Here we find that the Bible in these verses gives us four basic principles for finding that joy. First of all, in verse 4, it said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness," in other words, "let your gentle spirit be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Now I want to read that last verse again because I think this is sometimes that we become anxious over things that we should not worry about. And he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, no matter what, whatever comes up in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's what we need to do. But many times we forget to pray to God. And we forget to pray to thank Him for the blessings that we have. We forget to pray to Him for strength and for understanding and to help us through some of these situations. First of all, joy being in the Lord. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. We should have joy because we are in the Lord, first of all, and we have the precious gift that He has given us, and that being the hope of eternal life. And so here we should have joy in that gift that He has given us. God has given us every good and perfect gift comes from above. And He has given us that in that He sent His Son to die on that cross so that we might have that eternal life. And that hope is only in the Lord. That's something else we need to understand. If you are not in the Lord, you have no hope. All of those that are not in the Lord, they do not have any hope. And so we must be in the Lord. And I'm not saying only just being a Christian. First of all, one has to become a Christian to be in the Lord to begin with. But even after we have become Christians and we are in the Lord, we can stray away. And we can lose our faith and we can no longer be in the Lord. Because we cannot be in the world and in the Lord at the same time. And so we need to think about these things. And also, and that hope is, so therefore being in the Lord as Christians, we should always rejoice and have this hope. When we look at the world today, we see that most people are not happy. Many place their trust in material things. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, again part of Jesus' sermon on the mount, he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal." People think that things that they can buy will bring them happiness. There's so many times people, they will try to buy something. And there's a void in their life. And they're trying to fill it, but they're trying to fill it with the wrong things. They're trying to fill it with these worldly things, these things that are going to pass away. And what we need to do is do like what Solomon said when he was searching, talking about trying to find out what the duty of man was. What was the purpose of man? That he found he bought anything he wanted. Anything Solomon desired, he had. He had gardens, he had palaces, he had all kinds of servants, he had singers. Anything that his heart desired, he had. And he said, it's all vexation and spirit. It is all in vain. It is empty. It is meaningless, those things. And then he come to the conclusion of the matter was to fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. And also, yet we still put so much emphasis on material things. Even though we read these things, we understand these things, it's still, what all can I obtain for myself? Yet Paul says that joy is found in the Lord. As we begin Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. True joy comes from knowing that our sins have been forgiven. How? Remember the story we just read about the eunuch? How that because of his sins had been forgiven, now he was a Christian, so he goes on his way rejoicing in the Lord because of that hope of eternal life. Maybe we have lost sight of that crown. Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful even unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Paul talks about that crown in 2 Timothy chapter 4 as he looked forward to that crown that he was going to receive. Maybe we have lost sight of the Lord. We have lost sight of that crown. We have taken our eye off of the goal in which we are going forth, and maybe that's the reason that we're not happy. Maybe I've lost that feeling of joy. If we'll be honest with ourselves, we were our happiest when we were the closest to the Lord. Now you think about that. All the things that have come up in your life, everything that we have dealt with, when you were with the Lord 100%, that is when you were the happiest in your life. And when we let outside things come in, the world, then we begin to lose that joy and that happiness. That's because maybe we're not as close to God as what we once was. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Well, before that, let me say this. True joy comes from serving the Lord. True joy comes from worshiping the Lord. And true joy comes from leading others to Christ so that they can have that joy. Philippians 4, verse 1. Paul says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Notice what Luke says in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and let's look at verse 5. In verse 5, here Jesus talking about the 100 sheep and one that is lost. And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who does not need repentance. Look at verse 10. The lady with the lost coin. When the woman found it, she called all of her friends and said, rejoice with me, for I have found that which was lost. Jesus also tells us that there will be joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What about the prodigal son? Skip down to verse 32. And here we see the story. The prodigal son, he wanted his inheritance, and he gets his inheritance. He runs off, and he spends it all on righteous living. Finds himself wishing that he could even eat the husk with the swine. And he repented. He come to himself. And now then he is coming back to his father. And as he's coming back, and he says, well, bring out the robe and the ring and the fatted calf. And then the elder brother, he's all upset about this. He said, here, I've been faithful all this time, and you never prepared any feast for me to invite all of my friends. So it all turns back to him. Well, he was not lost. He was there. But now the one that was lost has been found. He's repented. He has come back to the Lord. So here Jesus said, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad or have joy, for this your brother was dead and now is alive. He was lost and is found. Have you ever been instrumental in either restoring someone back to the truth, or have you ever been instrumental in bringing someone to the Lord where they repented of their sins? Have you studied with someone and they've done this? Does that not bring you joy and happiness? You know, that it's not that, it's not so much what you have done. All you've done is present God's Word. The joy comes from their obedience to that Word. How many times when someone is baptized and you're sitting and you're witnessing that, that tears do not come to your eyes because it is joy. That one was lost and now then they are saved. And so we should rejoice in the Lord. And we should have that feeling for one another. And we should not be selfish or thinking about self. Anything that we can do to help someone else to receive that same joy that has been promised to us, shouldn't that make us happy and joyful? These are blessings that we have being in Christ. And this next thing, in nothing be anxious. Of course, this does not mean that we're to be totally careless. We need to learn to live one day at a time. Let today take care of itself. Not to worry about tomorrow. I think we all spend too much time worrying about tomorrow or what may happen or may not happen. Sometimes we just worry ourselves sick over things that are happening in this world. We worry ourselves sick about some of the decisions that the government makes, wondering about if we're going to have food, if we're going to have water, if we're going to have a shortage of this, a shortage of that. Gas is going to be too high. We can't afford to buy the gas. We can't afford to do this. And we just worry. And it is senseless. It is emptiness. And really, in one way to look at it, it's a lack of faith. A lack of faith. That we do not trust that God is going to do what He has promised that He was going to do for us. If you would, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Here Paul writes, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." So this is what we need to do. We don't need to lose our zeal, because what happens? We let all these things around us dampen our zeal. When we are to be joyous, rejoicing at all times, being a child of God, and be zealous in our work in doing this. We should care for our families. Sometimes we worry too much about other things and we don't care for our families. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he said, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, his own household, he has denied the faith, and he's worse than an unbeliever." And so, because even the unbelievers provide for their own. And then what about caring for our neighbors? In Philippians 2 and verse 4, Paul said, "Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Am I concerned about others or the welfare of others, or is it just all about me? And so we're not just to be neglectful in our day-to-day life, but we're not to be overly concerned, is what Paul is saying there. And how? By placing too much concern about the physical things in this life. By doing this, it causes us to lose proper perspective, to undervalue the spiritual things in this life, and it makes us distrustful of what God's providence is and the things that He has promised. Have we become so unbelieving that we have lost our faith in God? Now think about that. I want us to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we read this. Everyone knows this. We can probably all quote Matthew chapter 6. And let's begin reading with verse 25. In verse 25, Jesus makes this statement. I want us to pay attention to this because we read it, but do we really understand it? Or do we have faith and trust in Jesus that He's going to do exactly what He says in these passages? He says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Did we hear that last part? All these things will be added to you. Food, clothing, and shelter. He is going to provide for us. We're not going to starve to death. We're not going to be malnutrition. And we're not going to die of thirst. No matter what happens, if there's a shortage of water, a shortage of food, it's all tied up in the harbor. We're all healthy, and those things are happening right now. God will provide. And we need to have that faith that He is going to do exactly what He has promised that He would do. And then, when we're spending so much time worrying about all these things that we have no control over whatsoever, and not putting our trust and faith in God, then what is that doing? That's taking all of my time away, dwelling on that, and the devil is over in the corner clapping his hand, cheering you on, keep on complaining, keep on worrying about this and that, and it pulls you away from the spiritual things. It takes the zeal out of your enthusiasm of the joy that we have being a child of God. We need to not forget that. We should be a joyous and happy people at all times. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We don't need to worry about these things. I don't remember who the man was, but there was one day that some gospel preacher was walking down the street and he was just all erect, and he was just happy and smiling, and someone said, "Brother so-and-so, it looked like you own the world." He said, "I don't, but my Father does." And you know, that's what we need to think about. Who owns this world? And God had promised us that He would provide these things for us. So we need to learn to be content. That's our problem. We're never content. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul tells us this, "I have learned to be content whatever circumstance." You think about where Paul spent much of his life, in his later life, in prison, being stoned, shipwrecked, all of these things, but he rejoiced every day. Because he had the joy of heaven in his sight. Sometimes we keep ourselves stirred up over things that we can't do anything about. We need to learn to sit back and learn to enjoy life and what it has to offer, what it has to bring. And then the third thing that we want to look at is casting our cares before the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." As we read earlier in Matthew 6, 25 through 30, again, He will provide with you all the necessities of life. And through God's providence, He takes care of us. We just need to pray and have faith and live a godly and Christ-like life. And finally, there is joy comes from giving thanks to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, by praying and petitioning to Him, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." He has promised to take care of us. And in conclusion, look at Revelation 19 and verse 7. John writes, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready." So as a Christian, you can have this joy. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have this joy. You do not have this hope. And so it is something that we need to do. If we haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't have this joy. But you can also have the same joy that those that are Christians. Are you a member of the Lord's church this morning? You can be. If you're here today and you would like to render yourself obedience to the Lord, we can assist you in doing that, and then you can have this joy. And if you're here today and you need the prayers of the church or something that is amiss in your life, that we can also pray with you and for you for the forgiveness of those sins. And either way, if we can assist you in any way, we'd ask that you come while together we stand and sing.